Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Four free record on my count. Seven, six, five, four, three, two. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, good Monday afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition and another week of the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Luke Johnson, First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and we're glad you're with us. And we've got a great show today. Head basketball coach Jay Ladner just about to join us here. It's always fun to talk with Coach Ladner about basketball. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, great supporters of the athletic department and, of course, our show, and we're grateful for that. And we enjoy their food. It is delicious 7 days a week. And just remember, the next time you have a catering event, make sure you include Dickie's. All right, we want to kick off the week in style. We're going to bring head basketball coach Jay Ladner on the show. Coach, always fun to have you on the Eagle Hour, and thanks for returning.
Absolutely. Ms. Bob, thank y'all for having me on. Y'all do an incredible job promoting athletics in our area at the university. And of course, I love the opportunity to be able to speak about Golden Eagle basketball, my favorite subject.
Well, it's one of our favorites, too. And, you know, you and I were talking just a minute or so ago. You guys just kind of finished up about a week ago your summer workouts. The guys report back to campus on the 21st, about a week of activity, getting, you know, physicals, all that stuff. And, heck, before you know it, in a month, you'll be on the floor getting ready for basketball.
You know, Mr. Baum, you know, you and I both go way back to following Southern Miss, of course, Kelly. And anyway, you know, when things have changed so much, I was talking to another in-state head coach this morning regarding future scheduling it. We got to talking about the summer. He said, Jay, how was y'all summer? I said, of course, very positive about it. And I will say this, I'm not one to make bold predictions or statements, but other than to say, we really didn't have a summer last year, of course, but so I don't know if I can count that other than, but of the summers that I've been there, this was by far our most productive. Our group is just, and they should be, we should be improved. That's our expectation. But real happy with our group. But going back to what I was saying, you know, back in the 80s, I was fortunate to play for Coach Turk in 84 through 88. The only guys on campus in the summer were the few athletes, whether it be football, basketball players, that needed to get a few hours to maintain eligibility. Now, with the way things are structured, Bob, it's year-round. And you train year-round. Of course, I think the biggest benefit of that is more strength and conditioning than anything, because they are in a very professional, well, we have an outstanding strength and conditioning program overall at the university in our athletic department, but of course in basketball too. We have a young man that does a great job with that. But that's the biggest, I think, benefit is that they get to train physically year-round. So the players are just so much bigger and stronger. But you know, it's just, you know, there were only a few guys on campus back then. It was rare, you know. So back in Coach Turk and Coach Robert McInnes, Coach Ralph Moore, of our assistant coaches, you know, their summers were much different than ours. Now it's there's really no time off. In fact, we're probably in our what we call our Christmas break now, and over the next couple of weeks until we report back, because once we get back, it's really won't stop until next May.
Right.
And Chris goes over the holidays. But you're right. I think our guys, they worked hard, needed a short break. Our coaches probably needed a short break. Of course, we've had a real, real busy summer. and I hope our coaches can kind of get their batteries recharged too and ready to come back, and let's see what we can get done this year.
And we want to talk about your team while we have you, but I'm gonna throw a curveball question at you right out of the gate. Kelly and I were promoting you last week, coming on the show, and we were talking about how open and accessible you've been to us and how much we enjoy our conversations with you. And Kelly made an interesting comment, Coach, I want to get your thoughts about. He said that you played and you learned a lot about basketball from the great M.K. Turk. And not only was Coach Turk a great coach, but Coach Turk understood that basketball had to be entertaining and exciting, and he had to promote his basketball team to the public. Your thoughts about that?
I think that I'm going to actually bring out two different coaches, and I'm going to bring someone else in there that I know that our fan base will relate to, Coach Turk and Coach Denson, Coach Hill Denson with baseball. Those were two men that very easily, maybe, and I don't know the politics or the decisions that were made back then, that maybe could have, should have been, maybe as their coaching career began to wind down, possible would have been, I'll just put it this way, would have been great athletic administrators at Southern Miss at that time. And that's not taken away from anybody that got it. But what those two men understood Southern Miss, the Southern Miss community, of course, South Mississippi, they both had a great mind for promoting and understood promoting basketball and a tremendous work ethic and the type of personalities that they were just people, you know, they were just people. And they just knew what it took, and they had and no problem with there were no set work hours. It wasn't like they checked out of work when they left. They promoted the university and their particular athletic programs in. I'm going to tell you a second story to illustrate, Bob. We were in 1984. We were 7-21. I may be off a loss or two. It may not be counting exactly, but I know we won 7 games in my freshman year. Now, of course, I didn't do a lot of playing as a freshman. I didn't do a ton more as a senior, but I had the chance of being on some really good teams with some really great Southern Miss players. Eventually went on to win the NIT, but I was talking with Casey Fisher just a few weeks back. Casey and I stay real close, and Southern fans will certainly remember that name. And Casey, we were talking about, as a group of players, we went to visit with Coach Turk. First of all, he always had an open-door policy. We were struggling, and, of course, I'm just not the voice in this particular meeting. I don't want to sound like I was. Casey, of course, was the voice of this group. But not complaining to Coach, but just say, Coach, if you will trust us and let us get up and down the floor and play and so forth, we promise you we'll play defense. We'll do if you will let us do that. And basically what he was saying was, what Casey was saying, Coach, we know we got the horses. We're confident in what we got. If you'll let us play a more entertaining style of basketball, and, of course, the rest ended up being history. And that not only that went on past, of course, by the time our group had graduated and into Clarence Weatherspoon and all that group. So it was Coach Turk understood that. He understood that was a entertaining style of basketball. I will say this, you'll see a lot more of that style with our team this year because we have better personnel and more personnel to be able to play the way that we've wanted to play since we've gotten here. But I learned a great lesson from Coach. Just really understood how to deal with the public. Here's another insight, too, Bob, from back then. And of course, I love talking about Coach Turk, and I owe so much to him. But Coach, the general public didn't understand this, but he understood it. He may have been absolutely just so upset if we maybe had lost a game or not, maybe we won and didn't play well up to whatever he felt like. And, I mean, he could have come in there, as coaches do, and just lambasted us in the locker room. But, of course, by the time he got down to his post-game radio show, he would be so calm, and he would never let the general public know maybe what they really didn't need to know. You know, they didn't need to know he was upset with Casey Fisher or John White or Derek Hamilton or whoever. Maybe the team in general, because he was so good at handling his emotions and handling the public. That's something that I've always thought to myself. I just heard Coach 10 minutes ago, and I thought he was going to kill us. And he's composed himself enough from the locker room back down to the post-game radio show, and he talked about the positives of the game and what we had to do to get better. And I've tried to use that as the many lessons that I've learned from him. That's one of them, is try to always get myself back together again. So you weren't talking about emotional things, but you were shedding a positive light on your program and the public. So Anyway, I could go on and on, Bob. I probably went on a little bit too far as the question was concerned, but Coach Turk, again, I want to give Coach Denson a lot of credit too, because he was doing the same exact thing across the street, over across 4th Street, with baseball. And but Coach did it too, and we're excited about those times returning, and I think our fan base, there's a strong desire to return to that style of basketball. Of course, we have to have the right personnel to play that type of basketball, and we feel like that we're a lot closer to that this year than any so far that we've been there.
We're talking to head basketball coach Jay Ladner. We're going to hold him over and continue our conversation. Great excitement about Southern Miss basketball right on the horizon. Tomorrow on the show, football defensive coordinator Austin Armstrong, head football coach Will Hall. On Wednesday, we'll keep talking Golden Eagle hoops right after this break. We've got Jay Ladner with us. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. This segment sponsored by our good friends at Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. I visited with Miss Kathleen over the weekend. I bought some stuff, of course, while I was there, and she's just so great. And they have such a huge inventory right now of Southern Miss football, basketball, baseball, apparel. Make sure you check them out. Hardy Street, right across from the Southern Miss campus. We're talking to head basketball coach Jay Ladner. Let's get Luke here in the conversation. Luke, Jay Ladner.
Coach, thanks for coming on. And so many, some new faces, exciting new faces. And I guess the Golden Eagle fans that have been talking to me just kind of want to know, as far as working this summer, you know, Isaiah Moore, Waylon Napper, how are they kind of fitting in? And we talked about chemistry last year. It took the guys a bit to get some chemistry going. But year two with a lot of these new guys together, how have the new guys, Moore and Napper specifically, come in and worked well with your team?
Well, Luke, thank you for the job you do, too, and thank y'all for always having me on, and I'm really, really honored to be on you. Love y'all's show. I listen as a fan. I'm a Southern Miss fan, you know, so I listen to all, you know, the show anyway, but thanks for having me on, and I appreciate it. It's like, we needed to, I'm start with Waylon Napper, and then I want to actually talk about a few other faces, but of course, those two are highly regarded recruits. Waylon Napper was a young man that, of course, we had recruited. I had recruited when I was at Southeastern Louisiana. Of course, he ended up at Dodge City, which is one of the top community college programs in our country. Averaged 21 and 8 assists a game. We played, of course, anyone that saw us play last year, we were playing with basically without a true point guard. Played, of course, Tay Hardy did a great job. He's really became more of a two guard. Jerron Pierre had never played the position before. And those guys, I thought, did an incredible job playing out of position. It was like maybe taking a tailback and playing them at quarterback in a football analogy. Did a good job. But I didn't really realize how much the difference made until we got Waylon Napper, of course, on campus. And just this summer, and as I mentioned to Mr. Bob earlier, we've just so much further along than we've ever been in the time that I've been at Southern Miss. And we should be. I want people to know I'm not just saying that. We should be. That's our expectation. We should be improved. But we scored so much more easily this summer, and it's because we have a point guard. That's part of what they do. They deliver the basketball to guys and make scoring easier. The good ones can. And again, he was one of the – I think he was second in the NJCAA. I may be off on that a little bit, but he averaged 8 assists a game, which was something, of course, we were looking at. But he also has the ability to score. But he's a Southern Miss – when you think of what is a Southern Miss guy, not just a Southern Miss basketball player, but a Southern Miss guy, he's just old, tough, hard-nosed, competitive, blue-collar type kid, and that's what I love. I love those intangibles, but he's a very skilled player, and he's a winner. And what one of the values of having a young man like that with COVID, and one reason that we've got a young man that played 2 years at the highest level you could play in the National Junior College Association, but he still has 3 years of eligibility left. And so to have someone that's at the controls for 3 years or so, is really exciting. You mentioned Isaiah Moore. Isaiah Moore is as an exciting of a player as we're going to have, or as we have had, I should say, not as going to have, but as has had. We were very fortunate. He chose Southern Miss over his final five were Florida, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Cincinnati, and us. And for us to be able to get a player, so, well, gosh, how do we get a player? No, we didn't dip in any brown bags or anything like that. But he, thank goodness, had played right down the road at Pearl River. So the relationship that we have with Coach Oney at Pearl River, and, of course, he had teammate of Tay Hardy. But, you know, you think, well, he goes to, you know, the general person may think that this was a guy who played at St. John, but maybe he didn't get a chance to play numbers. He was their second leading scorer. But he wanted just to play a little bit bigger role than he was playing there and play a few more minutes, and he saw an opportunity to do that at Southern Miss, and we're fortunate to have him. But I mean, he's 6'10 and a half, pushing 6'11. Great feel for the game, but he's not a bulky big, you know, big wide bodied post, but he's a very athletic, skill jumping jack. I saw one of the national publications put him as a pogo stick. I watched, of course, he and I had a great relationship when we were recruiting Tay Hardy. He had signed with St. John in the early period, but even over the course of the times we were down there recruiting his teammate Tay Hardy, you know, he and I always had a good amicable relationship, and of course that helped us, and it was a lesson to us that with the recruiting rules today, sometimes you get them on the bounce, and over 1,600 guys in the transfer portal. So it's good to maintain a good positive relationship with recruits. And anyway, it paid off for us in this. But I mean, this I watched them last year. I happened to watch again. They're playing at Georgetown, and he has 26 and 14 at Georgetown. There's not a lot of guys that are capable of doing that. And anyway, so we're excited him. He gives us something that we have not had in the 2 years that I've been there in terms of some really good length and athleticism, but we have a very athletic team. Not just those two guys, but very, very, our athleticism is certainly much improved. I do want to mention a couple of other new faces, Luke, if you don't mind, Rashad Bolden, the son of Coach Randy Bolden, who was the head coach at Jones Junior College. Of course, you know, I'd coached at Jones, and he's now the new, in the summer, has become the new head coach up at Mississippi College. But his son, Rashad, was rated as the number two recruit in Mississippi and had 27 in the Mississippi Alabama All-Star game, was the MVP of the game. We got an absolute steal there. And, I mean, he's, even as a true freshman, will really push Waylon Napper for some, you know, some real serious minutes at the point guard position. You can tell he's a coach's son. He's beyond his years in terms of maturity. Played 3 state championships in high school. Just another guy that really fits the type of criteria that we look for in recruits: high character, a good, strong student, physically tough, fits that Southern Miss mentality and mold that we look for, and very talented young man. So, and then he gives us another strong point guard. And then a lot of people don't know this young man from Picayune named Mo Arnold, who has started. He started. He was all freshman in the Atlantic Sun at Jacksonville. Another young man that I had recruited when I was in Southeastern Louisiana. And during the transition of coming to Southern Miss, of course, he signed at Jacksonville. He's been their starting point guard the last 2 years. We got a dose of him last year. Strong, athletic kid. We don't know about his eligibility yet. That still remains to be whether he's going to be eligible for this year. But it gives us three really new players, a new face. I want to educate our public on that. But he gives us three really good point guards to build with for the future. And that we're stronger at that position than we've ever been, of course, since I've been there, and in terms of great depth as well. So, you know, we're excited about that group. And then, you know, the biggest signee that we may have had, and this is crazy to say Coach Turk would roll in his grave, was our own. We're having to go, you know, because of the recruiting rules and this the craziness with the transfer portal, is, of course, Tyler Stevenson returning. And, you know, of course, I've had the chance to – Tyler and I had a chance to talk about a lot of that. And, you know, we kind of felt like Tyler had moved on, had an incredible number of schools reach out to him and try to get him to come back. But as time went by and he had not signed, Tyler called and he said, "Coach, would my scholarship still be available?" And I said, "Tyler, you know, of course, you and I – We parted, I thought, on great terms, and of course wished you nothing but the best. But you know, of course, we'll need to talk about a few things and make sure that you're 2 feet in." And of course, he's not only been 2 feet in; he's been 4 feet in. He's been a great leader for us, and he had a tremendous summer as well. He's such a positive young man and a pleasure to coach. And he's gonna leave a legacy at Southern Miss. And he told me, so we got a chance to talk. I said, "Tyler, what kind of major?" And he said, "Coach," he said, "of course, there's other schools, and I could mention some of them, but I'm not going to give them that much credit. But, you know, that had better facilities, and they had, you know, they gave us more cost of attendance money and all. They took charter jets to games. And, of course, those aren't things," he said, "but that those are, you know, things that initially kind of drew my attention," he said, "but it was the relationship." He said, "Everybody at Southern Miss seemed to care about me," and he said, "the fans cared about me, and they kept wishing me well." And he said, "Eventually I realized that I've got something good there, and I don't think I could recreate that anywhere else." And I think that's a strong testament.
Good stuff, Coach. We are always grateful that you come on the Eagle Hour. We'll be calling you again real soon, and I speak for all the guys. So, we can't wait for basketball, Coach.
Well, Mr. Bob, thank you. Luke, thank you for having me on. Please tell Kelly I said hello. Thank y'all for having me.
Coach Jay Ladner, everybody, head basketball coach at Southern Miss. Speaking of Kelly Center, we'll talk to him next, and stay with us.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
First day of the work week. Thank you for joining us on the Eagle Hour on this Monday afternoon. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Appreciate Jay Ladner joining us. And tell you what, you got the scoop now on the personnel and the new personnel, returning personnel, as he went into it in depth. If you missed it, you can always go back and check out the Eagle Hour on demand, supertalk.fm, supertalkhattiesburg.com, supertalklaurel.com, or we are on a plethora of platforms. The iTunes app store with podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, all there. You can hear us and get your latest Southern Miss news from the Eagle Hour. 4th Street Bar and Grill brings you the third segment every day. They had honey baked ham today, black eyed peas, sweet potato casserole, a roll and a drink. That's kind of a change up for a Monday. Honey baked ham from 4th Street Bar and Grill. But always go probably about 9 or 10 in the morning. If you go on their Facebook page when you're getting the hungries for lunch in the morning, You can check out their Facebook page, and they will probably already have the lunch menu up, and then you can just pull out $8.95 and get one of the best lunches in Hattiesburg. 4th Street Bar and Grill, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. Kelly Sander joins us now, and Southern Miss has hired a new assistant coach for baseball. Ben Brewer was announced late Friday as the newest assistant coach. He'll be taking Nick Amirati's position, who left last month going to the University of Kentucky. Ben Brewer spent the last two seasons at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. Was also, though, at with Southern Illinois before then. He was at UT Martin, and Gulf Coast Community College was a coach there. So has the Mississippi ties. And Kelly Sander, probably the most unsung heroes in collegiate athletes are this third assistant. And it's been a crime over the last several years simply because these guys are volunteers. They do so much of the work. They do so much of the work with the camps and other instruction. It's a blooming shame that we don't have a paid third assistant in baseball.
And a lot of schools, as you well know, are in favor of adding that. But the powers that be, and we all know from recent developments, the powers that be are not the NCAA, but the Power Five themselves, for some reason, don't want that extra paid coach. I don't know why, because it certainly would stand to reason, particularly with schools who have very strong baseball programs and could more, you know, be in a position to better afford an extra coach, could do it. But for whatever reason, they just have never been able to get that through. So you're right, because a lot of these times these guys take the jobs not knowing what the pay is going to be, you know. So, boy, that's got to be a really tough way to do it. So you're definitely doing it for the love of the game. And, Bob, what's the mascot at Southern Illinois from where Ben comes?
I have no idea, Kelly, but something tells me you know.
Salukis.
Yeah.
Salukis.
The Salukis. Do you know what a Saluki is?
No, Kelly, I don't.
It is a
Isn't it some type of dog?
Yeah, it's a breed of
dog. Okay, there we go.
It's a smaller, it's very similar to a greyhound in the way that it's built, but it's a smaller model. Kind of like a collie to a Sheltie. You know, a greyhound and a Saluki would be similar.
I got you. They should play the,
now, you know,
they should play the fighting Boston Terriers that played Ole Miss a few years ago, Sander.
Well, you talk about a dog fight, huh? Or, So we don't know what Ole Miss is going to go by this year. You know, we don't know if it's the Land Sharks, the
Black Bears,
the Rebels, whatever.
Who are we?
We'll find out later in the year.
All right, Kelly. Good news out of Pittsburgh Steeler world. Former Southern Miss wide receiver Lewis Lips, first round draft pick. Way back, I think I was born when he was drafted. You guys were in your mid 40s then, but big news for Lewis Lips.
He is being put into the Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Fame, and much as I dislike the Steelers because of the annual thumpings that they deliver to Cincinnati, if you get put in the Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Fame,
you're pretty damn good.
That's got that
pretty
right.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, you've put together some good numbers over his career. And in this day and age where football players seem to go to different teams at the change of the wind direction, Lewis Lips, as far as I can remember, you guys, Lewis Lips was always a Pittsburgh Steeler.
I think that's the only team he played for, yes.
Yeah.
Actually, he technically played two games for the New Orleans Saints in 1992, his last year. Eight years with the Steelers and 1 year or a half year with the Saints.
We're talking about historic franchises like the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Right, Sander?
They're both historic, but for far different reasons.
All right, so Kelly, tell me something. Go back and tell me your fondest memory of one of the many times Lewis Lips stuck a knife into the heart of your Cincinnati Bengals.
Bob, my therapist says I'm not supposed to do that.
Once, is that fair to say?
Oh, yes. More than five or six times, actually. But the only redeeming quality that Lewis Lips has, as far as other than being a good man and being a Southern Miss guy.
That right.
And he can't help it that the Steelers took him, and he was drafted in the first round, so what are you going to do?
Right. Now, our associate Luke is too young to have perspective of this, but you're not, Kelly. Put in perspective for our listeners just how great a college football player Lewis Lips was at Southern Miss.
Well, he obviously was fed, you know, by had some pretty good quarterbacks that throw the ball to him, but a wide receiver back then. You remember how important, and that was those were the days when the running backs were king, right? You
right.
always took a running back in the first round. You know, the O.J. Simpsons and those kind of guys. This was a wide receiver that went first
mm-hmm.
in a league that was run happy. Okay,
right.
You know, before the West Coast. Lewis played much before the West Coast, you know, offense and Bill Walsh and all those guys brought that into vogue in the NFL. So Lewis Lips was a number one pick as a wide receiver in a run-happy league. So that just tells you how highly the Steelers thought of him.
And a great, great special teams player as well.
He was. And Luke, Luke's kind of our stats guy. What kind of numbers did he put up at Southern Miss? Would you know perchance?
He played the first 2 years, of course, was 80 and 81, and you know, remember what kind of offense we were running then. So, you know, he only had right at 200 yards his sophomore year, but his junior year, 38 catches for 468 yards, two touchdowns. And then his senior year, 42 catches for 800 yards and five touchdowns. But like you said, the special teams prowess.
Right.
His senior year, he averaged 11.6 yards a punt return. His junior year, he averaged 12.2 yards a punt return. And so, you know, the thing about him was the dynamic, and I think that's one of the reasons that they drafted him, was he really blew up as a wide receiver his senior year, but he showed his junior year what he could do on special teams.
Yeah, and that wide receiver statistic that senior year, I think he averaged about 20 yards a catch. Didn't he, his senior year, something like that? Just some really weird, wild numbers.
19 yards a catch his senior year.
Yeah. And again, back in those days, still college football was still fairly conservative compared to the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a big play guy and lived up to every bit of the hype that the Steelers, you know, would be just my luck as a Bengal fan. He lived up to their expectations.
Well, guys,
who did the Bengals take first that year? Kelly, do you know?
Bronco Nagurski, I think.
Bronco Nagurski.
Ricky Hunley. Does that name ring a bell?
Yes.
Yeah,
man, that's a legendary.
Linebacker out of Arizona State.
Legendary player.
But it looks like that Cincinnati had the number one overall pick.
Luke,
it was from Tampa Bay through Cincinnati, and Irving Fryer went to the New England Patriots.
What year does Cincinnati not have the first pick?
Exactly right. Sander, on a brighter note, do you know what the significance of this past Sunday was?
It was August 1st. No, I don't, Bob.
It was the last Sunday until early February that there won't be NFL football. The season starts actually Thursday night, and I read that this morning. I think there's a little misnomer there because a lot of preseason games are not played on Sunday, but this is the kickoff come Thursday night, and so we just went through the last weekend without NFL football till
morning. Let's just say we hope.
Yeah,
again,
well, yeah.
You know, I'm labeled as Mr. Negative, you know, Negative Nelly here, Debbie Downer, whatever you want. But here comes COVID again.
Right,
A couple of Lamar County schools have gone now. These are high schools, but they've gone back to virtual learning for the next couple of weeks. And I sure am hoping that this doesn't, you know.
Right.
And Mississippi, from what I understand, this past week was fifth highest in the country in number of vaccinations. So I'm hoping that people who hesitated in Mississippi are getting those vaccinations now. That certainly would stand a reason if they're fifth in the country in the number of vaccinations last week. But I'm hoping COVID doesn't get into the junior college system and then into the pros, and here we go again, you know?
Well, thank you, Kelly, for ending that segment on such a bright note. We look forward to having you back on the show tomorrow, my friend.
Well, I would say it was a pleasure, but that would be an oxymoron. Right?
Kelly Sander, everybody. He'll be back tomorrow, as he is every day. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank Coach Jay Ladner and, of course, Kelly Sander for joining us in the Eagle Hour today. Last segment is going to be a little different than most shows. Most of you, I would assume, that listen to Super Talk in this program know that that we lost just a legendary member of the Super Talk family early Saturday morning when JT Williamson passed away after a really valiant battle with cancer. JT was a good friend of mine, a good friend of this young man that I've asked to come on the show now, and really the face of Super Talk Mississippi for many, many years. He was very close. He became very close. He did a lot of Southern Miss stuff for me through the years and bringing his show to the campus. And while he was a Mississippi State guy, he had a love in his heart for Southern Miss. His dad was a Southern Miss fan, and as JT told me often, you know, that left a special place in his heart. And during that time, I know it's fair to say, he became really good friends with Scott Berry as well. And Saturday, Scott said this to me about JT, which I think really sums it up. "We're all better for knowing such a great man who loved God and his country and stood tall and proud for both." Caleb Hamill knows a lot about JT Williamson. Caleb is a very talented young man that works for us and does Presbyterian Christian School football and helps us out with a lot of engineering matters from time to time as well. And Caleb, I asked you to come on the Eagle Hour because JT is actually who introduced me to you and told me about this kid that had moved to Laurel and how I needed to go grab him and get him involved in my operation. I know that JT is the guy that brought you into broadcasting, and he meant a lot to you as well, didn't he, Caleb?
You know, JT never embellished, did he, huh?
No. Well, in that case, he didn't, though.
Well, I tell you, JT has been such a tremendous treasure to me over the years. And you know, we knew each other back in the days of just living in Madison in the same town. My father and him shared a building and working. With my father at Farm Bureau and him at Super Talk. And over the years, just getting to know one another, not only myself getting to know him, but my brother actually did his stats for MRA basketball back in the day when he was serving as a student manager. But over the years, I was up in school in Starkville, and somehow or another, JT overheard, I assume from my father, that I was interested in sports broadcasting. I'd always had an affinity for Mississippi State legends like Jack Crystal and Jim Ellis. And he said, "Well, there are a lot of MRA baseball games that I don't have time to just, you know, drop everything and drive up to in the middle of the week. And with me being up in Starkville, a lot of those games were pretty close by, whether it be Starkville Academy, Heritage in Columbus, and Mag Heights, just a little further out west." And so JT said, "Well, he's smart. He can figure out the equipment. Just, you know, I'll put it on the team bus and let him figure it out." And that was my first exposure to actually being a sports broadcaster. And JT took a risk and just said, "He'll figure it out." And I tell you, he really worked with me, you know, through those first few broadcasts. And then, lo and behold, he switches over to Madison Central with a little changeover between those two schools. And that summer he said, "Caleb, would you like to be my sideline reporter?" And so that went from baseball play-by-play to the football realm as well. And eventually it carried on into whenever I graduated and came down here to the Hattiesburg Laurel area. And you said it yourself. He connected us together, and I got to do Sal Jones and now doing PCS. And I owe a lot to him in not only giving me my first gigs, but also, you know, holding my hand through it all and helping me figure out my ropes in the business.
Well, that was JT, and I'll say this, JT, in a business that really has a lot of big egos in it, JT had the biggest radio audience in Mississippi. He reached the pinnacle of broadcasting in Mississippi, had the smallest ego of any broadcaster I've ever known. In fact, Caleb, people probably think this sounds crazy, but really off the air, JT was a pretty shy guy. You know, he was not a real outgoing guy that that you would think walked in a room with a big, huge ego. That just wasn't JT.
He would tell you to your face that a lot of it's an act. And granted, his opinions are his opinions. Don't get him wrong. But the outlandish and the in-your-faceness was not him in the public. That was that was him just behind the microphone. And that man loved his family. Anytime I'd see him at Mississippi State games while I was a student, he was not as interested in the game from his seat in the stands as much as he was being down there close to the sideline watching his daughter cheer. He cared truly about his family more than just about anything else.
No question. 30 seconds, Luke. How do we put in perspective when we lose such a great friend and such a fine person at such a young age?
You know, he was a voice for a lot of people, and what I've seen over and over again is people, even people that didn't agree with him politically or on ideology, they respected him. And so that's what you do. You as you mourn and as you grieve, you remember the good times. You remember the times he made you mad. You remember the times that you were shouting in agreement with him. And that's what you remember from JT Williamson. He was a voice for a lot of people, and you're thankful for that.
All right, Caleb, thanks for those thoughts, and I know you mourn his loss along with all of us, and best wishes to JT's family, his wife, his daughter, and his son. Caleb, I appreciate your time.
We appreciate you too, Bob.
All right, JP. JT, rest in peace, my brother.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. To the sea, fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the world on a mission.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.